Good morning. My name is Johanna Boki, also known as Jopie. In Dutch, it is Jopie is short for Johanna. I used to be interim minister here about 20 years ago, so it's good to be back here for a Sunday. And thank you all for coming and braving the weather, and also having lost an hour of sleep. I'll try to keep you awake. We gather as people affected by the event of the tragedy of the plane crash in the French Alps and many other tragedies happening in the world. Some days, dark tremors sweep across our lives. In times like this, our sadness and anger are great and can overtake us. So let us be together this day to share together, to be together with open hearts and open minds. And let us try to make meaning of what we have seen and heard and what we feel. In this place, at this time, may we find comfort and courage. In a world filled with the darkness of despair, may we share the light of hope. In a world filled with the darkness of fear, may we bring a light of courage. In a world filled with the darkness of hate, let us share the light of love. The light of life shines through the eyes of every person. The light of truth shines through each life. May the light of this chalice remind us that our search for truth and light is ongoing and is enhanced and nurtured by every person we meet. May we honor the light in each other.
Cherish your doubts, for doubt is the handmaiden of truth. Doubt is the key to the door of knowledge. It is the servant of discovery. A belief which may not be questioned binds us to error, for there is incompleteness and imperfection in every belief. Doubt is the touchstone of truth. It is an acid which eats away all the false. Let no one fear the truth, that doubt may consume it, for doubt is a testing of belief. The truth stands boldly and unafraid. It is not shaken by testing. For truth, if it be truth, arises from each testing stronger and more secure. The ones who would silence doubt are filled with fear. The house of their spirits is built on shifting sands. For the one that fears no doubt and knows its use is founded on rock. They shall walk in the light of growing knowledge. The work of their hands shall endure. Therefore, let us not fear doubt. Let us rejoice in its help. It is to the wise as a staff to the blind. Doubt is the handmaiden of truth.
There's a cartoon I like with which shows a minister in the pulpit telling his congregation, in compliance with full disclosure laws, I'm required to tell you that I'm really not sure about any of this stuff. Well, as you may guess from the title of my sermon, is that all there is? Living without the answers? I must tell you that I too am full of questions, and if you came here expecting answers, you will leave disappointed. But if you believe, as I think most Unitarians do, that religion is more than an institutional organization giving us institutional answers, that religion is an expression or the quest to find a way to live and a way to become who we are, then you may agree with the comment that it is better to know some of the questions than all of the answers. In a world where religion is often associated with creeds and definitive answers, it is wise to remember the words of a Native American chief. He said, "Great evil has been done on earth by people who think they have all the answers." Now I will tell you two stories about two different people. One an atheist, one a theist. They are composite descriptions of various people I have known. Here's the first story. It's about a leader of a group of hikers, a man in his late 60s. He has led groups on mountain and hill walks for 30 or more years and was hit by lightning several times, but survived. And he kept wearing a hat with the top burned out by lightning. "Keeps me humble," he would say. He always made sure that everyone in the group was all right, would tape the injured ankle of an older woman, gave words of encouragement and support to tired people. He often would stop at especially beautiful views and horizons, sweeping his hand over the view before him. And with a smile, he then said, "Look at this. You never get tired of this." Always amazed. Always amazed. How can you not be struck dumb and full of awe when you see this? And then he would remind everyone to leave a gentle footprint and not leave any trash. The second story is about an older woman, not an especially buoyant woman. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, through her late 80s, she went to a care home to help out my old people. She read to those whose vision was poor, helped wherever she could. She was generous in her love, though not overly affectionate. She remembered every birthday and kept in touch with relatives of the residents. Her house was simple. She valued relationships, not things. She lived a simple life. Now, having heard about these two people, one an atheist, one not, can you tell me with complete conviction who was the atheist and who was not? I simply talked about two people who valued connection. They valued compassion and life. The woman acted in response to the great wonder and mystery of the world around her, which she called God. She was a good Christian, living her life in the spirit of Christ. And the leader of the group of hikers was a scientist, who had also a deep sense of connection and compassion to people and the natural world, while often filled with a sense of awe. Yet he might tell you that he saw no reason or evidence to believe in a God. He was an atheist. Notice I first described them by how they lived and acted. Then I told you who they were by giving them labels. One a Christian, one an atheist. And when I described them the first time, they were of the same breed, simply two human beings. But when I used labels to describe them, they became like different species of human beings. Labels divide. By labeling what we believe, we turn the attention to what we believe rather than how we live. And how we live is ultimately what matters. You can hold the best beliefs in the world, whether you're an atheist or a theist or a Buddhist, a Muslim or a Unitarian, a Sikh or a Jew, but unless you act on them, unless you're loving and living, express those beliefs, then it does not matter how you label yourself. Religion or faith or belief is more than its institutional manifestation or label. It is an expression of the quest to find a way to live and a way to become more understanding, more compassionate and wiser. Well, yes, but that is easier said than done. I dare say that most of us have at times struggled with moments of doubt and anxiety, of not knowing what to do, how to act, questioning God, the universe, and all of existence. I know I have. And I continue to have these times of great anxieties and doubt, even though I supposedly have learned to give theological answers to theological questions. And that's why I was struck by an article in a New Yorker magazine with the title, "Is That All There Is?" Hence the title of this sermon today. I immediately identified with the woman the author described in the opening paragraph. He writes, "I have a friend, an analytic philosopher and convinced atheist, who told me that she sometimes wakes up in the middle of the night anxiously turning over a series of ultimate questions. How can it be that this world is the result of an accidental Big Bang? How could there be no design, no metaphysical purpose? Can it be that every life, beginning with my own, my husband's, my child's, and spreading outward, is cosmically irrelevant?" These are theological questions without theological answers, and they resonate with me. As I get older, and some of what I am doing seems a bit more pointless or useless, such as writing sermons, such moments of dismay and fear seem more frequent and more piercing, and I'm more likely to arise in the middle of the night. At such anxious nights, I long for answers, for assurance, and wish my religion would fill me with courage and give me peace of mind. The Unitarian Church has sometimes been called the Church of the Holy Agnostic. But the word agnostic comes from the Greek, meaning not knowing or without knowledge. Behind it is a basic acknowledgement that there is much in life we do not know. and we cannot claim as truth those things of which we lack knowledge. Living life without answers is difficult. The Bible is full of examples of people asking questions and agonizing over events in their lives over which they have no control. Think of Job, who laments, "God has cast me into the mire, and I have become like dust and ashes. I cry to thee, and thou dost not answer me. Why, Lord, why?" The difficulty in living is that we often have to go ahead without knowing the answers to the questions that may haunt us. How can I be faithful and be committed when I do not have the answers? The word faith is often confused with belief. When talking about the church to which they belong, people often say, "my faith," meaning the Catholic Church or the Muslim religion or being a Hindu in a more general sense. But then they are really talking about the beliefs and the teachings of their particular faith community, equating faith with religious belief. However, you do not have to have particular religious beliefs to have faith. Indeed, faith often happens where belief ends. Faith is not a creed or a religious institution, but resides in the individual's mind and heart. Living life without answers is difficult. Our world is full of disturbing events, uncertainties, and catastrophes. Living in a world like this is difficult and bewildering. We have to learn to live with our doubts and not let them destroy our zest for living. The universe does exist. We are alive and aware. And though we may not know with certainty the whys and hows of it all, we can try to make the part of the world we inhabit a place of more love and justice and peace. George Bernard Shaw insisted, "The great joy in life is to be used by some worthy purpose which outlasts it." Whether or not that is as it should be, that, my friends, is the way it is, as is illustrated in one of my favorite Peanuts cartoon strip. One day, the acid-tongued Lucy gave Charlie Brown some sound, if overly direct, counsel. Presiding at a stand with an overhead sign reading, "Psychiatric help, 5 cents. She engages in this dialogue with the patient, which is Charlie. "Charlie, I'm in sad shape. What can you do when life seems to be passing you by?" "Follow me," says Lucy. "I want to show you something. See that horizon over there? See how big the world is? See how much room there is for everybody. Have you seen any other world?" "No," says Charlie. "Lucy, as far as you know, this is the only world there is, right?" And Charlie says, "Right." And Lucy, "There are no other worlds for you to live in, right?" "Right." And then Lucy shouts, "Well, live in it then, anyway." And with that verbal shock treatment, Charlie Brown goes into his familiar somersault. May we continue to live in this world as fully as we can. Amen. A traveler in ancient Greece had lost his way, and seeking to find it, asked directions of a man by the roadside who turned out to be Socrates. "How can I reach Mount Olympus?" asked the traveler. To this, Socrates has said to have gravely replied, "Just make every step you go, every step you take, go in that direction." Let us leave this place this morning, remembering these words by Martin Luther. "Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree." So may it be. Amen.